The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the feast of Saint Anselm, and I want to say a word about when he first crossed my path. Although it may be more accurate to say when I first crossed his path, because he has been walking in this world a lot longer than I have. Saint Anselm was born at the turn of the first millennium in the year 1033. So we might say he was the original millennial. He was born in Burgundy, France. And later he was made the Archbishop of Canterbury in England. And that is his modern moniker. We refer to him as Saint Anselm of Canterbury. I learned about Saint Anselm at the University of Dallas when we read one of his famous texts called Cur Deus Homo in Latin, or in English, Why God Became Man. That book profoundly shaped Western theology for a millennium, and it still exerts considerable influence. That's why we read it. Anselm coined the famous phrase, fides querens intellectum, meaning faith seeking understanding. By the way, that is why we see so many people joining the church these days, and scores of people attending Bible studies, etc. They have faith, and now they want understanding and deepen that faith. In Cur Deus Homo, Saint Anselm presents a new view of why Jesus became human, and more to the point, why he died on the cross to save us. Anselm proposed a new understanding of the redemption that contrasted with the first 1,000 years of Christian thought and tradition. He argued that Jesus died to satisfy God's demands for justice. How so? Well, mankind, you and I, had sinned and offended God, but we were in debt over our heads and could never pay back the loan, kind of like the U.S. national debt. According to Anselm, therefore, Jesus, since he was both God and man, could pay the debt to God on our behalf. Jesus could write a big enough check because he is God himself. And his check, his death on the cross, would not bounce. Our evangelical friends put it more memorably, saying, Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. The Protestants always come up with all the catchy, cool stuff, don't they? But Saint Anselm's view is now the predominant theological explanation for why Jesus died on the cross for both Protestants and Catholics. But with all due respect to St. Anselm, his view is not the only one. And to be honest, it's not the view I personally prefer. I'm rather partial to the understanding that predominated in the first 1,000 years of Christianity and espoused by the scriptures and the early church fathers, especially Saint Athanasius. They argued that mankind's debt due to our sins was not owed to God as much as it was owed to the devil. That is, when we sinned, going back all the way to the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we were sold into slavery to the devil. But I think we can put an even finer point on this view. We are not only slaves to the devil, we are adopted by the devil and become, in effect, his sons and daughters. Therefore, when Jesus comes to earth to redeem us, cur Deus homo, why did God become man? He comes seeking humanity as a bride to marry him. In the scriptures, a man who wanted to marry a woman had to pay a dowry to the father of the bride in order to marry her. He didn't just ask her father for her hand in marriage. And that is what Jesus' suffering and death on the cross represents. Namely, the bride's price. Or more commonly, the dowry. In other words, the difference between the first millennium view and the second millennium view of redemption depends on to whom we owe the debt for our sins. In St. Anselm's proposal, we owe God the Father the debt, and that is what Jesus paid on the cross. In St. Athanasius' view, which I prefer, we owe the devil the debt. Think of Shylock, the Jew, who demanded his pound of flesh in Shakespeare's play, The Merchant of Venice. And Jesus paid the devil his due on the cross. By sin, the devil, in effect, had become our father. But the part I like about St. Athanasius' analysis is that it depicts Jesus as a bridegroom coming to court his bride, the church, all humanity. I'm sorry to sound like I'm contradicting St. Anselm on his feast day, no less. But while the church has, by and large, adopted his view of Christ's redeeming death on the cross, his understanding is not the only possible one. And since Anselm himself would be pleased whenever someone of faith seeks deeper understanding, fides querens intellectum, then I hope he will forgive me. Praised be Jesus Christ.